Good morning and welcome to Neocone View. I'm Peter Newman, and we are at the desk, the office of the relatively new Wheeler City manager, Jeff Wolschlager. Welcome to the area. Hello.
Good morning, Peter.
Relatively new. When did you start here?
I started officially on February 1st. I worked on an intermittent basis in January prior to that and transitioned with the interim city manager, but was essentially let out of the gates and on my own starting in February.
What was that like? I mean, you know, you come to an area and, you know, get out of the gates. How do you prepare for something like that?
Well, I don't think there's anything you can do professionally to prepare for it, especially when you're new to the arena of city management. You know, a lot of my contemporaries within the state of Oregon and abroad that work in the arena of city management have said that essentially in your first role, they call it drinking from the fire hose, and that's very true. I had the benefit of having spent the last 8 years working for the state of Oregon, though, which definitely prepared me with respect to demands of the public. You know, those questions that consistently walk through the door, and you have to have some semblance of you know, response and answer for it.
What do you do with the state of Oregon?
I worked within the Oregon University System for about 8 years. I was a financial aid administrator at Portland State University. And, you know, I've been asked this question a number of times through newspaper interviews and other, I don't want to say exposés, but, you know, people with inquiring minds want to know what exactly does that job entail, and how I feel that it equates to what I do now is, quite honestly, when you're in possession of an administrative position that has discretion over public funds and you're trying to assist constituents to reach their goals, in addition to listening to their problems and their issues on a very, shall we say, ground level basis, it's not dissimilar from serving the public in the role of a city administrator or other public official.
Yeah, maybe we should back up a little bit and, you know, Civics 101, the difference between, let's say, a city manager and a mayor. Obviously, one is elected and the other isn't, but beyond that.
Well, I guess to expand on the genesis of your question there, you know, really, there are many cities do it differently. And I don't just mean on paper, but in terms of how they apply that relationship or those roles. Some cities have a strong mayor. Some cities have what they call a weak mayor, where you have a strong council. It really comes down to, in my opinion, and I'm not going to necessarily apply this to any locales around here, but it really comes down to, in my opinion, the personality of the municipality, the expectation of the public, and insofar as Wheeler is concerned, it's a partnership not only between the mayor and myself, but also myself and the council. Again, with respect to Wheeler, you know, the mayor is the one that directs a lot of policy, as does the council. Being the titular head of the city, she is responsible for, you know, the public appearances. She definitely has a stronger relationship, as she should, with public officials above her, whether it's, you know, county commissioners or state representatives, state senators, U.S. congressional representatives, etc. And I'm responsible as the manager for a lot of the day-to-day housekeeping, you know, crunching the numbers and making sure that the corners are square and they fit and that the city's running. But that's not to take away from not only my mayor, but my council's position in terms of quite often coming in and, you know, assisting me, because we are a small town without a large staff, and making all those things come together.
So do you do any, if not establishing policy, any recommendation of policy?
That's a fantastic question. I can sort of revert my mind back to a number of my professors when I was sort of getting directed to where I found myself now. And, you know, a question you hear quite often, city manager, what does that individual do? And when I first considered the avenue as a career, I wasn't quite sure. But insofar as policy, and I'm getting back to the heart of your question here, I think any person who enters public service at some point has an interest in policy and policy direction and implementation. But quite honestly, in the manager's role, you know, I'm not here to be making choices in one direction or the other of policy. I'm here to bring the best data and information to the table so that my elected officials can therefore make the best policy decisions.
What in broad brush terms are some of the issues that you face day to day, the things that you wake up at 3 a.m. and think about and say, you know, this is what I really need to get a handle on?
Well, I haven't been in the role here in Wheeler long enough to say that there are, you know, issues that continually come back to my plate that, you know, if I'd been here maybe 12 months, I could say very honestly, this is a recurring problem or concern. But to try to hone in on an answer that I think facilitates your question here, really handling all the work that comes in the door. I mean, like I said, we're a small municipality. We don't have a large staff. And right now, it doesn't keep me up at 3 a.m., but it's definitely on my mind on the ride in every morning is getting through what needs to get done in a day or a week. You know, there's a lot of work for very small staff here.
And I imagine one of the things that occupies your time is thinking about budgets and allocation of resources and how to maximize one and use the other. How's the area doing economically in your judgment?
Fantastic question. And I say that because any manager who's worth his or her medal will have done their homework before applying for a city administrator position or truly any government administration position. And I definitely went through the past year's adopted budget with a fine-tooth comb to see where Wheeler was at financially. And I think that the city's done a very, very good job of maintaining, I don't want to apply it in the classical sense, but they've done a good job of applying a conservative approach to their budget, keeping good resources essentially behind us in case something happens. Like many small coastal communities, you know, revenue is a constant question. Where is new revenue going to come from? How are we going to maintain the levels that we're at right now? There are cities across the state of Oregon that are seeing declining revenues. So yes, very important. While we don't have a lot of growth in this very moment, that's part of what I'm excited about in terms of being here and collaborating with my council and my mayor in growing revenue streams. But as of current, you know, we're okay, and we do have those rainy day funds to some degree. I think they've done a very good job prior to my arrival.
You know, as you describe that, it occurs to me that what some of the questions you're asking there are policy questions. And so in a way, you're given this mandate, but you cannot institute policy. So you sort of work with what you have?
We do have to work with what we have. Again, if I'm understanding you correctly, you know, when ideas pop up, and I understand exactly what you're saying there, that, you know, I'm bringing ideas, or at least my ideas of my ideas to the role. But those aren't based in any sort of political direction. They're just what I've seen work in other municipalities, special districts, things of that nature. You know, while I did work at the state for a number of years, and, you know, we got our allocations each year, the budget has been reduced year over year for public education, especially higher education in Oregon. Completely on a side note here, but Oregon now ranks 48th out of 50 in terms of funding of its higher education system. So, you know, I saw administrators having to be creative at that level. I worked with a special district in the west side of Washington County, west side of Portland area for a number of years. You've had to see organizations get creative, and that doesn't mean that that's only reserved for policymakers. So what I say when I'm bringing ideas, it's you know, in concert and sharing those with my elected officials, but they're really the ones that drive the decisions at the end of the day.
Our guest this morning on Neocon View is Jeff Wolschlager. He is the Wheeler City Manager in the north part of Tillamook County. Looking at your vantage point as the city manager, I'm curious if you've formed, either now or in the past, a sense of, you know, how is small town America going, or at least let's say small town Oregon? Resources, population moves, aging, there are all sorts of ways you can cut that cake.
Well, I think to compare small town America to small town Oregon is difficult. Not because the two don't have a lot of commonalities, but I haven't done that much traveling as of late to say that there are any parallels there, or at least not spend enough time in other places. having moved recently to the area from the Portland metropolitan area, yeah, there are some major differences. But at the same time, and this is something that I had discussed with the Headlight Herald when they spoke to me about a month and a half ago, insofar as the Oregon coast and small town, which is the majority of the Oregon coast, there's a resiliency amongst people on the coast. I think this area for many years, since, the timber industry has sort of declined, has had to adjust and change to trying economic realities. I remember as a child, I'm not from the area, but visiting very close family friends in North Bend when there was a mill there. And most of the families that we got to know through them, my perception was we're middle class. And that's when timber was just sort of the name of the game. And then that plant or that mill, I believe it was called Menasha, closed, and that really hit that area hard. And that was in the early 80s. And so, over the past 30 some odd years, the coast has had to adjust to that. And so again, to reference your question, I think there's a fortitude amongst small coastal Oregon that you don't necessarily find, at least in the bigger cities. You might find in Eastern Oregon on the other side of the hill, or Central Oregon for that matter. But I think things are, to really get to the point of your question, there's been a maintenance, there has not been these huge ups and downs. There's been sort of a constant that, we will press on. And that brings a nice sense of, when there are ups and downs, people know how to handle them a little bit better.
As you look at old photographs of downtown Wheeler, quite active, muddy, it looks like. It's fairly muddy and kind of grubby, which Wheeler certainly is now, but also very, very active. I mean, this community, the water, the mills, was really a lot going on here, a lot good and bad, but but that was a long time ago. I'm not sure we really can compare that with, say, the last 20, 30 years, can you?
Well, I'm going to back up for a second, and I'm saying this somewhat tongue in cheek, but you weren't suggesting that Wheeler's muddy and grubby now.
No, quite the opposite. I think you look at those old photos and you think, boy, that was there are all these the mills and the activity, but then maybe if you're looking at through a black and white lens, it looked pretty scruffy, which Wheeler does not look now. Mm-hmm. I think Wheeler's got a charming downtown. And, of course, one of those fantastic views going anywhere.
Well, I was going to say, we were going to have words there, Peter. I jest. But, you look at a lot of the pictures of waterfront Oregon from, say, early 20th century. That was the nature of the beast. I mean, you had shipping ports, and you had timber, and you had a natural resource-based economy, canneries, fishing. Road building was not at the advent that it is today. So, whether you had some planks out there or not, there was a lot of mud because you may notice it rains here occasionally. And, Wheeler isn't a beautiful location. We're actually quite fortunate that we have this sort of microclimate where we are here along the Nehalem. And the local residents like to brag that we're in a little bit of a banana belt. And, insofar as the attractiveness of the town, it is a cute town. And what I think you, for the discerning eye, you see elements of that history even today in the storefronts and in the essentially our main street along 101 that harkens back to the history of this town. It really speaks to where it came from, but you kind of have to know a little bit of history to see that.
Yeah, I imagine there's a sort of tension, at least I have a personal tension. I look at a town and say, gee, it's not touristy, meaning that's a good thing. And yet, if you're a resident, tourism looks pretty good.
And that therein, Peter, is the million-dollar question for a lot of the towns on the coast, I think. Far be it for me to say. I'm relatively new, but, between Brookings all the way up to Astoria, there's a wide swath of what's been applied to a number of coastal towns and some places have gone that route and others have not. I think there's a fine balance that can be struck where there can be financial gains to be had, but that can be done in a way that respects the feelings of the residents and those that want some expansion. Again, you know, I'm not the policy creator here, but I do think that, and anything, you know, not to get too wordy here, but Senator Mark Hatfield once said, "The answers aren't on the left side or the right side of the aisle; they're in the middle." And I think that that's very true. I think those words ring true, that there can be policy decisions that facilitate tourism and expansion of financial ability of towns like Wheeler, at the same time reflecting and representing what really is at the heart of the vision of this town and what's been placed in some of our documents as to what people really want and see Wheeler as going forward.
You know, one of the more exciting ones, which, you know, may or may not happen, is the Rails to Trails, which I think would be fantastic for the area.
I'm really glad you brought that up. The opportunities there are just so exciting. The expansion of that further into the Coast Range and what they're talking about doing on the other side of the hills here from Banks going westward, I'm really excited, not only from the perspective of being a local government administrator, but just from a personal interest. I think it could bring to say the right or the wrong is not correct, but I think it could bring the kind of tourism that is reflective of the spirit of the state of Oregon, what we sort of stood for, where there's an appreciation for our natural resources, and at the same time, you know, we celebrate them as a way to make ends meet, but we also celebrate them as something to cherish. And I see that project being a great means for that celebration, because we do really live in a very beautiful place, and I would like more people to experience it in the right way, in terms of both sides of that coin.
Well, how's it going? Do you think it's going to happen, or where are we in the stage of getting Rails to Trails working?
Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, if I was in that 12-month period, I could probably have a really great answer for you. Being at about 45 days in here, I don't feel that I have enough of a background on that right now to say that, yes, it's really, you know, going the way that everybody wants it to. But insofar as my interactions with people from the state that I have a lot of conversations with, and my contemporaries in local government administration within the Tillamook area and even Clatsop County, I feel that it's going in a direction that seems forward. But to put any more explanation into that, I would be stepping into an area that, well, quite honestly, I don't have the answers to at this time. So,
well, even without answers, any other projects in the Wheeler area that, controversial or not, are things that we should be paying attention to over the next few months?
Well, insofar as Wheeler, you know, we definitely have it states in our visioning plan that one of the primary goals of Wheeler as a city is to maintain our natural views and our presence and the beauty of the city. And so we're always looking into potential opportunities and projects to not only maintain that, but expand that sort of natural beauty we have here in our little crescent along the Nehalem. And so, yeah, we're looking at opportunities at this time. There's nothing on paper that I could say, you know, yes, we're going this direction or that direction, but we're definitely looking at expanding the natural enjoyment of the beauty in this town for not only our citizens and our constituents, but those that may find out the secret of what this little town has to offer.
When I started looking at towns around, well, specifically Tillamook County, I saw the phenomena, and I have yet to have it fully explained to me, therefore I'm not going to ask you to explain it to me, of southern part of the county, or let's say central to south, fewer incorporated communities, and for some reason north around here, Nehalem, Encinitas, incorporated communities. Just from a broad brush as somebody, I guess a student of the sort of organization, any thoughts about why a community chooses to organize and incorporate or not? You know, is it purely for tax purposes or to gain certain services? Why incorporate?
That's a fantastic question, and I think you labeled it very appropriately with the term phenomena, because it's something that I hadn't given a whole lot of thought to, despite all the time I spent in Tillamook County over the years, even though I was a Washington County resident. I never, having driven through Pacific City as one example before, I had thought that, you know, it doesn't actually have an incorporation. Whether that's good, bad, or otherwise is really not for me to say. When you look at towns like Wheeler, well, I think Wheeler incorporated as a matter of function at the time when it did 101 years ago. You know, it was at that time beneficial for the residents here. Insofar as today, well, there are certain tax benefits to having your base here, but at the same time, an unincorporated area, they do have the opportunity to have special districts form, for example. But we've also done that as well as a function of us being a small town. Our fire and rescue is Nehalem Bay Fire and Rescue, and that is not a Wheeler Fire Department. That is a special district that we share with our partners here in the Tri-Village area with Nehalem and Manzanita. There are definitely questions about where resources go from a county level when you have unincorporated cities. As to why that sort of happened in this bifurcated way, north and south, I don't know yet, and maybe I'll have to get back to you on that, but it's something I've noticed as well.
Well, I've been talking to people who have been here a lot longer than you or I, and I've yet to hear a satisfactory explanation, so it just may be just because. What's a typical day like for you?
Oh, boy. I came up with a good answer for this when I worked in the university system, and I think it aptly applies to this job as well. And for those out there listening, by no means is this any criticism of my own job. I love what I do. But I call it flying on Christmas Eve. It's just there are way more people to get through the line and way more things to do than maybe there are hours in the day. But those of us that embrace this I don't want to call it a lifestyle, but this choice in career and this choice in service, it's part and parcel of what comes with it. And it can be chaotic, but it's never dull and it's never boring, that's for sure.
Well, what's a Wheeler citizen who makes an appointment with you, knocks on your door, comes in, what are they usually asking for?
Oh, it could be any number of things, It could be anything from wanting to put on a festival on the waterfront and wanting to know what the policies are in regards to, getting the right permitting for that. It could be a complaint, whether whether the city is doing something or not doing something, or whether it's an issue with, say, a neighbor. There are lots of questions about ordinance violations, especially those having to do with land and zoning. Land issues are a big concern, I think, on the coast, and rights to do what you want with your land. And so I get a lot of questions about height and views and things of that nature, because again, if you get to the heart of what Wheeler's about, it's really about the natural beauty, and the residents want to preserve that as well. But to sort of round out the answer, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but it was my first week on the job by myself. I had my office manager and my public works manager with me as well, but we got all that snow on my fourth day here. And we had a little bit of a malfunction with our gravel spreader, so myself and my public works director were out there shoveling gravel out of the back of the truck, so you just never know what you're going to get.
I think that's a wonderful answer. I mean, I think a lot of people would like to know that their city leadership is capable and eager to do something like that.
When you're in a small town, I think that's part and parcel of what's to be expected of you.
You were mentioning the cooperation between various communities here in the North County. Can you go a little bit deeper into that and what layers of cooperation they are? You mentioned the fire.
Oh, yeah, with our special district. Being up here sort of at the north end of the county, again, I'm going to pepper this with that I'm very new to the area, but I've quickly learned that these three cities, Manzanita, Nehalem, and Wheeler, which go by, the tri-villages, there's, I think, a lot of, maybe for lack of a better term, I would almost call it familial interaction. There are families that have been here a long time. There are people peppered amongst the three towns that have connections to each other that go back very far. There are some families that have been here historically for a very long time. And everybody seems to know everybody. And quite honestly, not to go back to the snowstorm, but that was a perfect example of You know, our CERT group, which is the Emergency Response Group, which has a fantastic reputation, even beyond the borders of Oregon. And there are some prominent residents here in Wheeler. I say prominent because they're very involved in that organization being where it's at. And, you know, they deployed and sort of at the focal point, which was in Nehalem, right in the middle on Nehalem Hill. And it wasn't about Wheeler's needs or Manzanita's needs or Nehalem's needs. It was about our general locale's needs. And people from all three cities pulled together to make that happen, and not only to serve the needs of the constituents, but those that were traveling through the area that were getting stuck, to make sure that they had lodging or a place to stay. And, you know, we all realize that we're very dependent on each other. And one more example of that is that our water system, we share it with Manzanita. We have the water rights, and Manzanita has built a lot of the infrastructure, and you know, it creates a symbiotic relationship where we really need each other's help at times. And it's made for very good fences and that are low with good neighbors. So,
and it's also there, I think, for the, shouldn't say if, but when the inevitable tsunami comes.
Yes.
You know, we were talking earlier about the lovely view out on the bay here. Wheeler is exposed, even though it's got a nice hill behind it.
We are exposed, and without getting too far into the science, I'm not a scientist, you know, I'm not a seismologist or any of those things. But my understanding, having talked to some professionals in the area, the inundation zone would affect Wheeler like it would anybody else. Maybe not as bad as some of the other communities on the coast or for Tillamook County, for that matter. I'm not going on record as saying that's the honest to God truth, but that's my understanding. But yes, I think you raise a great point. And, you know, quite honestly, if we have a subduction zone earthquake, it doesn't take a scientist to know that we are all going to be in trouble. And quite honestly, we may be cut off with our lifelines to the valley. And that's going to come down to, you know, do you have good neighbors? And I think that is it's reflective of small town values. I think it's reflective of Oregon coast values that, you know, we're all going to help each other. And I don't want to get too altruistic here, but I really feel that. And there is a great sense of community that I've felt so far, not only with the people I've interacted with, but even with my contemporaries in Manzanita and Nehalem, and even down to Garibaldi and Tillamook and Rockaway as well. So,
and we should also put in the public service announcement about, even though we've got government in place, have 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, whatever it needs of supplies and medication, whatever else people need.
Well, my many years in the Boy Scouts would tell me right now to make sure that you follow those words. Be prepared.
Well, Jeff Wolfschlager, great pleasure. This Wheeler City Manager, appreciate you taking the time to talk with us this morning, and thanks for joining the area. Thanks for becoming a member of the community.
Thank you, Peter. The pleasure's been all mine.
This is Peter Newman. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next month on Neocon View.